Coming to you from various places around the world, this is the Global Exhibitor Podcast, the podcast designed to help exhibitors succeed internationally.
A convincing story begins with change. And that change is where we begin the process. Like, what is the change in the industry and how is our client adapting to or out in front of that change? What are they doing to help their customers deal with the change?
Your host for the Global Exhibitor Podcast is Jeff Hanna, a designer, entrepreneur, business strategist, industry thought leader, and student of world cultures based in the United States. Here's your host, Jeff Hanna.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Jeff Hanna, your host for the Global Exhibitor Podcast, and I'm excited to be interviewing live in Dusseldorf at EuroShop 2020 with Mr. Scott Voida, who's a pretty longtime friend of mine and the owner of a design agency in the Czech Republic called Global Creative Group. Scott, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Jeff. Happy to be here.
Thanks for sitting down to take time to do the interview, and I do want to give a big shout out to John Pavick and the guys at Exhibitor Magazine for letting us use their area today to do the broadcast. So thank you very much, Exhibitor Magazine.
Yeah, thanks, John.
So Scott, you have an interesting background and we have some overlap in terms of education and things like that that we'll talk about in a few minutes. But you are a designer like me, industrial design background. Talk to us a little bit about what your focus is in terms of designing for exhibits internationally.
Yeah, so just in general, the way that we approach design is a little bit different than some of the other folks out there, many of the stand builders and other folks. You know, I would say that the most unique element of how we approach things is we take as the primary focus the engagement of the space, right? We don't start with the architecture. You know, the architecture is a result of many steps that we take before that. So our philosophy is all about how do we convince someone to take that step off the aisle into the booth space? And without that, you know, you can have awesome architecture, you can have a beautiful stand, it's not gonna really make much difference.
Mm-hmm. So would that fall in the category of like theme development as well? And how much is theming an important aspect of what you do, or getting the big idea crafted correctly?
The big idea is huge. It's a big part of it. But many times the big idea is a framework for us internally to work through. Ultimately, the big idea becomes what we call the key takeaway. And that's the thing that we want people to remember after they leave the show floor. And for them to have those personal interactions, for them to learn and remember, firstly, they have to be incentivized to come into the space for some reason. And then once that happens, then the brand ambassadors can take over. Many times what we do is also give a script to the brand ambassadors, like what are we actually talking about at point A, point B, point C? How is the customer journey playing out? And how is that teaching the visitor something?
Mm-hmm. That's good. I think that's an important series of thoughts in terms of how you approach getting the big idea and how you're going to take a different approach basically than what so many exhibit or stand designers are doing these days. In terms of just the ideation process itself, do you generally talk us through a little bit about how you work with your team? And is it on paper, on a whiteboard, whatever, or you guys just go directly into computer-generated models, looking at the space, traffic flow, all that? How do you start that process?
Pinterest boards. Typically, that's how we start, because ultimately, the way that we approach it is looking at the brand and what the brand stands for, what the objectives are at the show, who the personas are. Like, who are the people that we're actually trying to talk to? What are their motivations? Many times what we'll do to create the strategy portion is purchase industry research. So we'll pay, good money for very valuable industry research so that we can use that as the basis for the way that we structure the strategy. Like, you know, that way we are on top of the trends that are happening in the industry. Because when it comes to, you know, telling a story at the show, a convincing story begins with change. And that change is where we begin the process. Like, what is the change in the industry and how is our client adapting to or out in front of that change? What are they doing to help their customers deal with the change that's happening in the industry? There's change happening all around us. So the industry research helps us focus in on what that is, and then we structure the strategy around that to position our client as, let's say, a leader in the forefront of helping the clients deal with the change that's happening. And once we do that portion, then we get into the portion of how do we put this together in a compelling way. Many times the change can be something which is maybe hard to understand at first glance, so we try and simplify and distill what those messages are and get people interested and put them into the story. Like, oh yes, you know, me as a visitor visiting you know, a stand, they understand my problems. Like, this is interesting to me. I want to know more.
Yeah, so understanding the persona of the visitor is important. In terms of what clients ask for in briefings, do you find that they often are asking for things that are not realistic, or they're asking for something and they don't really know what they need?
Many times the clients really don't have a firm grasp on what they need. So, you know, there'll be a portion will be like that, and then another portion of clientele will have been, they've been going to shows for X number of years, and they say, okay, great, we need this, this, and this. When really, you look at it and you're like, okay, well, how has your trade show program been working for you? You know, let's look at the number of leads that you're capturing per show. Is that where you want to be? Or do you need more? So, you know, many times what we see is that, like, you know, hey, a client might come in and be like, I want to win an award. I want the award for the best looking stand at the show. Because we find that, like, it's kind of a contest with many event coordinators and CMOs and marketing folks. When really, you know, is that your end goal? Is that what you're really trying to achieve? Right? Are those your business objectives or your personal objectives? So we try and delve into some of that and help our clients understand that it's super important to be laser focused on your goals and not, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, right? I mean, you want to look good at the show, but you don't want that to take the place of real engagement. And I'll give you an example. Here at the show, I was walking through, and there was one stand, I'm not going to mention their name, but, you know, their stand did not look that great. It was just very kind of, you know, it was just simple. There's not much going on, but they did have a very cool engagement there. They said, hey, come smell this thing.
Okay.
Right? And so they had like a hood there, and you kind of peek your head underneath, and they make floor coverings and wall coverings. I couldn't help myself. I'm like, I must smell that thing.
Was it a pleasant experience?
It was. It smelled really good, right? You know, it was like this kind of flowery, potpourri smell.
But does that mean people like get on the floor and smell their flooring?
Well, you know what? Luckily, they didn't have it on the floor there. They had it actually, you know, more at eye level. But, you know, what it ends up doing is you know, if you use it as wall covering or use it as flooring, like,
yeah,
it's really interesting in the fact that, you know, you actually can touch and smell, you know, how real this product is.
Yeah.
And the reason that I bring that up is just that, like, that was a very cool engagement that me personally walking by got me super interested in what they were doing, even though the stand design was nothing special.
Yeah, and you're still remembering it and
yes,
talking about it.
Absolutely.
And now many other people are hearing about it. So,
yeah.
So such is the viral way that things get spread. People like to tell stories about things that were really cool experiences
absolutely,
for them.
Absolutely, absolutely.
hence the whole idea of the experience economy and,
yeah,
you know, the souvenir, you know, is the experience and the takeaway from that, or uh-huh. your t-shirt or whatever. Well, there's what in the vein of briefings with clients, what they're asking for and that sort of thing, what about mistakes that you've seen people make that are either common mistakes that they do all the time or just some of the bigger mistakes, especially when it comes to doing international work?
Okay. Yeah. You mean like when it comes to the design of the stand itself?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The design or implementation of
gotcha.
How they, you know, mm-hmm. stage themselves or their all right. situation.
I'll give you two examples. Okay. One is in Hall 12, there was a beautiful stand. Mm-hmm. Just gorgeous. Okay. Every detail, spot on, photographed nicely, just beautiful colors. The fit and finish was just awesome. Okay. I look into the stand and the halls are full of people, but I look into the stand, it's completely empty except for one person on their phone.
Hmm.
And I look at that and it's sad.
Yeah.
It's such a waste of time, energy, effort. And it just goes to show you can design the most beautiful stand in the world. It doesn't do the job. It's not enough. It's not enough to get people in. It's not enough to get people interested. It's not enough to get people talking about your product or learning about your product. To me, it's almost a form of vanity. And like I say, yes, you have to look good, but there has to be more. So that's one example. The other example is a bit simpler. This was a bamboo manufacturer. So they don't actually manufacture bamboo, but they manufacture, they do store design and fixtures, you know, furniture for retail spaces out of bamboo. Okay. And they had some examples of their bamboo there. But then you look at the stand and the counters and walls were built from fabric with bamboo printed on it.
Okay. And no actual bamboo.
But no actual bamboo building the stuff. So I'm thinking to myself, if I were the client coming up here and thinking that this bamboo was a cool and interesting way to bring some natural elements into my store, I'm thinking to myself, well, if it's not good enough for you, why is it good enough for me?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of using the bamboo, they were just printing bamboo. So I thought it was, you know, a huge missed opportunity. And I still am mystified by it.
Wow. Yeah. It is amazing what people do at times that's really crazy or stupid. What about lighting? Is that, what kind of role do you think lighting plays in the design of an exhibit or space?
Huge. Probably the biggest.
Okay.
Okay, I'll tell you this. I don't care how beautiful your stand is, if it's poorly lit, it's not gonna look good.
Yeah.
Okay, and even if you have some very simple design, not much to it, just maybe some fabric walls, if you have good lighting in there, it's gonna look nice. You're gonna outshine your neighbors. That's why I enjoyed walking through the stands in 11 and 12. Many of them actually are lighting manufacturers, so they have lots of lightings and they turn the hall lights off, mm-hmm. the overhead, and you can really see how much proper lighting creates interest, creates drama. It's just one of the most important things that clients can invest in, rather than investing in who knows what, another graphic, another this. Get some good lighting.
Yeah. Well, I agree. So I'm glad that you said that, because I think lighting, you can take something that's not that interesting and light it well and just really change the whole atmosphere around it.
Yeah.
Make it really attractive.
I'll give you an example. So I would say it's probably my favorite engagement of the show was in that area where there's lighting. And so this company, they make specific lights for supermarkets. They make a light that shines on bread, they make a specific, what they call a module that shines on vegetables or meat. And so at the corner of their space, they had a table, maybe 1 by 1 meter. And it had a grid of spices on it in these bowls. And the spices were all different colors, textures. It was just so bright. It smelled really good. It was just this beacon right there at the corner of their stand. And I couldn't help myself. I went on there and I was like, wow, this is so cool. I looked at the table. Okay, on the table it's written, in English and in German. Whoever takes the best picture of these spices and posts it to Instagram with a specific hashtag, you get tickets to a football match in Munich.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, what's great about this engagement is, number one, it's using the lighting, right? That's what they do. They make lights. It's showing you how beautiful it can make these colorful spices look, their textures and colors. It's using the product as the main event. And secondly, it's simple, right? There's no complicated GUI. There's no iPad app that you're trying to figure out. And on top of that, everybody knows how to take a picture and everybody knows how to post to Instagram.
Yeah.
So it's all those things combined with the fact that, oh, now it's a contest. Oh, I'm an iPhone photographer. I'm going to do a good job at this and get myself some tickets. So I thought it was brilliant. And it was inexpensive. They just used their own product, a grid of spices, and just had a contest for it. So I thought it was one of the best of the show, actually.
It was a really good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that could be applied to so many other companies and products.
It can. Yeah. It can. Many times the simplicity is the best, right?
Yep.
It's much more about the thinking behind it than the actual dollars you spend on something. You can create engagement so many different ways. It's just that you must create engagement to have a successful show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think people more and more are realizing and recognizing that it is much more than just the architecture nowadays. So that's really important. You do have a really interesting background as far as cultural experience yourself, and I'll let you talk about that a little bit. But before we do, just in terms of your view on culture, now that you've moved back to the Czech Republic after living in the U.S. for some time, how are things different for you and your family than it was when you were living in the U.S.?
The world's much smaller. It's interesting. Being in the USA, it's kind of like being in a fish tank. You're just surrounded by everything American. It's just very closed off in the sense that international things seem so far away. Now that I'm in Czech Republic, it's very international. The USA seems actually quite close. The wife and kids are actually there right now. They took a trip to Georgia to visit grandma and grandpa, and I took a trip out here. And the fact that, you just kind of get a broader cross-section of experience by living outside the United States. Like, for example, we were in Orange County. So, for us, it seemed like kind of every day was beautiful, but, it was just kind of the same thing, day after day. And it's been really wonderful kind of getting outside of that, being able to easily attend shows like this, like Frankfurt Auto Show, like other shows out there. And then be able to kind of document what's interesting and share that with our U.S. audience who may not have had the chance to attend.
Mm-hmm. In sharing that, you have your own YouTube channel, right, where
that's
you're sharing
right.
a lot of that information?
That's right. So, on the Global Creative YouTube channel. So I think portions of this interview are going to be on there.
Okay.
As well as some other interviews that I've done with some of the exhibitors here at the show.
Great. Well, let's talk a little bit about your background in education, where you were born. You and I went to the same school,
That's
although
right.
not at the same time.
Yeah.
I was gone for a long time before you got there, hence my age. But anyway, at Georgia Tech,
yep.
School of Industrial Design. So
right.
I always have a fondness for Georgia Tech people and people also with industrial design backgrounds.
Yeah. So I'm class of 2005. And the industrial design background there was good.
Just made me feel way older now.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
And that's actually how I got into the experiential world. Industrial design can be quite broad. You can take it in many different directions. We had a project that was, a trade show style project. It really got me interested in the industry. So, and then I kind of took it from there.
Good. So tell us about your life, though, where you came from originally and where you grew up.
Gotcha. So I grew up in California, basically in a Czech household in California. So we spoke Czech at home and then English with strangers. That was my childhood, and Czech with family and everything. So we would fly back to Czech Republic all the time, every other year or so. My grandmother was also coming and helping take care of me as a kid. So she would stay in the U.S. for long periods of time as well. I went to preschool in Czech Republic for a while as well. So that's kind of my background, kind of half Czech, half American. My wife makes fun of me that I'm, sometimes like some cultural things like that are American I've never heard of, never seen before. So she thinks that that's quite funny. But now we all live in Czech Republic, and so it's been, it's been an adjustment for us. I would say now less so than had we, let's say, for example, moved there 20 years ago, right? To me, like the world is becoming, at least the Western world, is becoming more and more homogeneous in the sense that, now in Czech Republic and Poland and all those countries, there's big supermarkets, availability of everything that you might need is there. Whereas, a while ago, that really wasn't the case.
Yeah. I do think we do live in a flat world, but I'm sure you still see some cultural differences, though.
You do. I would say especially prominent is the work culture.
Mm-hmm.
I come from the LA agency world where, at George B. Johnson, that was where I was working before, also at EWI doing automotive stuff. When there was RFP time, it was, you were there all night, they're ordering dinner, you were there without really questioning it. That was just part of it. So intense work hours. Whereas I think Czechs and just Europeans in general are more averse to that type of work environment. They kind of really value their personal time. So it's great on the one end, right? If you're working in that type of environment where you're not kind of expected to perform at that level. But then again, on the flip side, when you need something, you're gonna have to get that person to paint your apartment or whatever you need. You might need someone to do something for you. It's going to take a long time because they're not going to be jumping at the opportunity to work late to get your stuff done.
Yeah. Well, I guess going to school at Georgia Tech trained you well for this industry, didn't it?
It did. And you too, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's one thing that you learn, when you first go there. Besides the fact in orientation, they say, take a look to your left and to your right, and only one of you will graduate from here, which is
very true. They
told
me that too.
Yeah. Which was scary. It kind of makes you swallow really hard and go, okay, what am I getting myself into?
Uh-huh.
It was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. So I always, when I'm talking to people that are going to go there, I say, be prepared for it to be really hard. And then if it's not that hard, then you're great. But if it's harder than you think, then you really kind of can throw you for a loop.
It can. And my problem also was that I thought I was prepared, but I truly wasn't. High school was easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get to college and it was like, it's like I hit a wall. It was the real world, I guess. And, I felt like, I was somewhat unprepared, but, situations like that help you grow.
Yeah.
And I'll give you an example, like with our kids, right? You know, they're all born in America, native English speakers. And so we moved to Czech Republic and, you know, we moved there on a Saturday and that Monday they're going to school, local school, Czech speaking school. Mm. The only person in the whole school who speaks English, well, two people, one is the principal and the other is the English teacher. And the English teacher is a bit shaky. You know, so it's those life experiences where you may not expect it, but you rely on yourself and your ability to overcome those challenges, which help you grow as a person.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. What experience, whether it's work or things that you've done that helped you grow the most in your career?
It was the hard projects that helped me grow the most. I can think of a handful of projects where, and those were the hardest projects, the ones which I felt like I was suffering with, the ones where it was a situation where I just wanted it to be over, mm-hmm. where we were at the show and I literally had to leave the show floor because I can't watch this. This is too much for me. Call me in the morning. I can't be here while you guys are, it's like, you know, it's a Detroit Auto Show and they're so far behind on the thing. And, you know, it's extremely stressful. But then looking back on it, it's those stressful, intense situations which make an impression on you and help you to learn and grow.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good point. I mean, it is our attitude in those tough times is gonna determine whether we grow from it or we just stay the same. I mean, depends on how we look at it, I guess.
You hit on it. It's all about the attitude. The way that you approach the problem is huge. If you trust yourself, you can overcome anything. It's the self-doubt. It's the self-doubt that is the killer.
Yeah. It's just hard when you're in a problem or in the middle of a situation to see beyond that. You know, I always say to people, you know, that the problem will look a lot smaller in the rearview mirror, you know, after you've gone past it.
Well,
than it does when it's right there.
Just keep going, right? Like put one foot in front of the other. For me, you know, faith is an important part of my life as well. So, you know, it's that trust to be able to overcome that's been huge. And I've been blessed in my life to be able to overcome these challenges and come out on the other side better. You know, one other one is just even the move, right? Moving from LA to Czech Republic. It's like, how do you even do that?
Yeah,
right? You have four kids at home, wife, nobody speaks Czech but me, you know? And so figuring out all those things, the economic portion, right? How are you gonna live over there? How are you gonna make money? Secondly, there's also the political thing, right? How are you going to get residency? How are you going to live there? I mean, luckily, you know, I have dual citizenship, but I didn't at the beginning. That was a whole thing I had to do to be able to, you know, get my Czech passport.
Yeah.
Then once you get there, there's a multitude of other problems, right, that you're trying to deal with day after day. But then now, you know, we're established there and we look back on it and it's like, wow, we have grown and learned so much over the past couple of years. That would have never happened if we stayed in LA or Orange County.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's true. You put yourself into a whole new world and you're faced with a lot of things, but you certainly grow through that.
But there's huge opportunities now, right? We're here talking, right? Dusseldorf, you know, there's all kinds of opportunities for, you know, business contacts here. We've expanded into stand construction as well in the US and in Europe. You know, so we manage a lot of those programs for our partners. Now, that would not have been possible, you know, had we stayed in the same routine of things in California.
Yeah. So I'll end with this question, Scott. if you were talking to your younger self, the guy going to Georgia Tech,
yeah,
what would your advice be to yourself?
Go
your younger
after
self?
It. Go after it as hard as possible, as early as possible. I spent a lot of time just floating around, trying to figure out what to do, trying to figure out life. As I'm sure most of us have during our younger years, it's possible probable that we've done those things. But I would tell my younger self to just go after it hard, make contacts with people, focus on people, right? It's not the things that you can do, it's the connections that you can forge with another person, right? It's who you know.
Yeah, that's very true. I wish I'd known that younger, at a younger age as well. I thought the networking thing was for other people to do, but it's certainly hugely important in who knows you.
Yeah. I mean, you know this, so. Even running a business, right?
Yeah.
At Exhibit Concepts, you know, it's all about people. Who can you find that's a good fit with the company, that can execute projects at the level that you need? It's all about people. And like, you know, how can you expand the network to make sure that you always have the right people in place?
Yeah, very true. And I always try to hire the best people. And the more people you know, then that expands that pool of people to choose from. So.
For sure. And that's what shows like this are great at, right?
Yeah.
You know, this has been a huge benefit for us, being able to expand our network of European contacts, because, you know, we're big in North America and also Australia, but Europe has been, you know, on our radar for a while, and this is kind of our beginning steps into the European market. So this has been a great show. Thanks for everyone who's been here and made it what it is.
It's a very unique experience, isn't
it?
Scott, will you share with us, with the audience, how to reach you if people want to get in touch with you?
You can always visit our website at globalcreative.eu. And also you can send me an email personally at scott@globalcreative.eu.
Okay, awesome. I hope people do reach out to you. And he's an excellent designer and has done many projects for us at Exhibit Concepts over the years, and does really good work. So this has been an excellent interview with Mr. Scott Vojda from the Global Creative Group in the Czech Republic. Scott, it's been great to have you on the program today.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
We like to remind people that all business is conducted within the context of culture. So each episode provides insights to help marketers understand the cultures they're trying to reach and strategies for building bridges across cultural divides. If you like the Global Exhibitor podcast, please share it with others, subscribe to it, and rate it on iTunes. We greatly appreciate the feedback. Please also check out our website and blog at www.globalexhibitor.com. And finally, if you or someone you know would make an interesting guest on this podcast, please let us know by sending an email to guest@globalexhibitor.com. And until next time, thank you for listening.